the official bracha we give on Yom HaTzmaut in Israel or around the world is Mo'adim LaSimcha LeGeula Shlema. That's the official greeting that we give one another on Yom HaTzmaut. And the topic I'm speaking about today is something that I think a lot of us are challenged with on many, many different occasions and levels. If it's from a rabbinic perspective, if it's a peer pressure, if it's a community type of a challenge. Many times, especially during tefillot, and tell me who doesn't feel that, when you're on tefillah during Yom HaTzmaut and you're suddenly, what, this? So weird. It's like, I'm not used to this. I live in a community in Israel, in Ramat Beit Shemesh, a lot of Olim, and the first time they see the tefillah on Yom HaTzmaut, and the Nusach, and everybody's like, what's this? So bizarre, like so weird, where this coming from? And every time you read something else, last night, just I never noticed it before, they showed me in one of these booklets of Yom HaTzmaut, they showed that there's this, some people have this minhag that when they see the flag, they say these two, three different psukim in Tehillim about the flag. And we're all like, you know, looking at these different customs that are developing and are happening, and we look at it a little bit as maybe something weird or not comfortable, or where's this coming from? So before, I want to talk about the concept of, could we, or almost is it legitimate to sit and say, let's try to understand and turn it into almost halacha lemaisa, the realities or the historical events that we're living in. Is it something that we should relate into? Is it something we should be addressing? Or historical events happen, but really we shouldn't do any actual practice in regarding to those issues. And that's really the main issue that I want to discuss today. I'll just start off with something very sweet that I think I heard 2 years ago from someone in Israel, in Machon Meir actually. And then I thought it's a very interesting insight to start this conversation. He says that the Haredi world relating to Yom HaTzmaut says the following. Yom HaTzmaut was done by Hashem? No! Yom HaTzmaut was done by secular Zionists who went to fight. And he says the secular Zionists say, Yom HaTzmaut was done by Hashem? No! Yom HaTzmaut was done by us! We went to war! So bottom line, he says, when you really look deep into it, they're saying the same thing. They're both taking out Hashem from the equation, but for different agendas. One is taking out Hashem from the agenda because he doesn't believe in Hashem. And one takes out Hashem from the agenda because he thinks that he believes in Hashem more than others. But bottom line, they're both taking him out of the agenda. And here is something I want to discuss today. How much can we or should we relate to historical events with perspective of Hashem and turning it into an halachic component as well? And the first story that comes to mind when we discuss this matter, this issue, to me at least, is a famous story. I'm sure a lot of you heard. It's brought down in Gemara and Brachot in Source 1. And the famous story about Chizkiyahu HaMelech who was sick. And Bayamim Ahem Chalach Chizkiyahu Lamut Vayavo Elav. It's in Source 1. Yeshayahu Ben Amoz Hanavi Vayomer Elav Ko Amar Hashem Tzav Lebeitcha Ki Met Ata Velo Tichye. Chizkiyahu is told, when he's sick, Chizkiyahu HaMelech, who was a very powerful king, who was a righteous king, not simple, lived in times that weren't so simple religiously for the Jewish people, it was a challenge. Chizkiyahu HaMelech got very sick, and the prophet Yeshayahu is coming and telling him, you're going to be dying. And comes a Gemara and says, Mai ki met ata velo tichye? What does it mean you're going to die and you're not going to live? It's repetitive. Met ata ba'olam hazeh, In other words, this is a very hard statement to tell Chizkiyahu HaMelech, not only that you're going to be dying now, but you're not going to have any Olam Haba. It's over for you. Amale Maikulehai, what did I do? Amale Mishum Delasakta Bepiryahu V'ya. Chizkiyahu HaMelech never got married. He committed his life to the Jewish people by being a king, and he didn't get married. And one would think the reason he didn't get married is because he wanted to be king. He didn't have time. He thought that what he's doing is more important than building a family or anything along those lines. And his answer was pretty surprising. He said, "Amar le mishum dechazai li beruach hakodesh de nafki minai banim de lo me'alu." Chizkiyahu was a tzaddik who had the power of Ruach HaKodesh, saw that the children that are going to come as a result of his marriage are going to actually cause a lot of trouble to the Jewish people on many, many levels, also religiously, but for sure even on a nationalistic approach. So he said, I'm just not going to get married. I'm going to actually get involved. So what does Chizkiyahu claim? I'm going to get involved in actually trying to determine what the history or what the future of the Jewish people is going to be. So if I know, I see that if I get married, the children I'm going to have are going to be a problem for the Netzach of Am Yisrael, for the future of the Jewish people, I'm just not going to get married. So this is already a deep theological conversation that Chizkiyahu is having with Yeshayahu, and we obviously know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks about it. Amale, and these are words that are important to remember. Behadei kavshei derachmana lamalach. Why are you getting involved in what God's job is? In other words, leave God his job. My demifka dibalach lemeivad. What your job is to do, you should be doing. And leave for God to do the rest. In other words, sometimes we look at it in a positive perspective. Many times we speak about the facts, but for sure if you look in the last 70 years approaches, we do the most we can. We all know, right, that Kriyat Yamsuf himself, right, Nachshon Ben Aminadab jumps in. Why? He says, we need to do the most we can, we leave the rest for God. Here it's from a different perspective. Here he's almost telling him, you got to be a little bit narrow-minded. Don't look at future. God tells you to do something, do it. It could be that the end result you know is going to be a disaster, leave it for him. In other words, the claim over here that we see in this approach is that really, to a certain perspective, we're not supposed to get too involved in trying to see what the actions are going to lead to. And here the question that I'm going to relate to today in this conversation is this coming and saying that the kashid rahman olamalach, meaning we should not be involved, we shouldn't try on a day like this to come and to determine or to create or to celebrate or to do any type of reaction to reality that's happening. That's not our job. That's not our job. It doesn't exist in the modern texture of rabbinic authority, so maybe not. So on this approach, I want to show several approaches to this concept of Behadi Kavshei Derachman Olamalach. Why are you getting involved in God's job? The Kli Yakar over here, in Source 2, gives a very important insight. In the second line over here in Source 2, where I highlighted, where I put it in bold, Umer Ve'im Kefi Miyuda Sagateinu. We got to be modest. We got to understand that we can't understand everything. We don't know the future. We got to have modesty when we approach these type of historical events. We don't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is planning. Hallo yakim Hashem dvaro atova shodiber al Beit Yisrael beigia atora katzuv o beitiv Yisrael darkav. In other words, says the Kriyat of Adikasha, the Rahman and the Kriyakar's approach, which, by the way, I'm not going to go too much into it, but the Kriyakar, you have it over here in your box, his historical approach, and by the way, he was the reason I'm bringing where he lived and what his story in life was. If you look over here, he was very active. He was very active in Vad Arba Aratzot. He did a lot of work in Europe and Eastern Europe back on trying to develop and help and lead the Jewish people. But nevertheless, the approach of Kliyakar is coming and saying that the Kasher Rahman Alamlach is coming and saying, have a little bit of modesty. We don't know the future. And therefore, what we have to do, we have to do our job. And if you think that there's going to be bad things coming, maybe people are going to do tshuva, work on tshuva, work on trying to impact that the result. But we got to have trust also in God. In other words, modesty in us not knowing what's going to be the end result is bad, the kasha and the kliyakar. On the other hand, also have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He could turn things around based on our actions. So says the kliyakar, bad, the kasha, the achmana doesn't mean to the extent of don't get involved. Yes, get involved. But have faith, have trust with modesty. That's a Kliyakar's approach. And Reb Tzadok HaKohen Milublin in source 3, who's the source of a lot of the Hasidut approaches to these type of components, comes and says, you have it over here on the bottom, Ki mikol makom, it's also in bold on the second line, Ki mikol makom yesh bo shoresh tov, de'al ken mimeno nishtalshel ha-mashiach. Fascinating what Reb Tzadok is saying. Reb Tzadok is taking a whole different direction. Reb Tzadok comes and says, what did Chizkiyahu HaMelech say? I saw in my eyes in the future that my children are not going to be anything beneficial to the Jewish people. They're going to be a disaster. Says Reb Tzadok, Ba'adikasha derachman alam alach, what are you getting involved in God? We all know that in the end result, when you go look at Mashiach, and you start going back in his whole chain of, it comes all the way back to Chizkiyahu. So says Reb Tzadok, you can see in your eyes, even you, Titkiyahu, who think you're who knows who you are. Hey, Mashiach in the end came out of these children that you thought that you, so you never know, says the Tzadok. Habi Kasher Rahmana, the point is not, is good things to come out of from you think looks bad. What looks bad, what a secular or whatever approach that could be looking, a lot of good things to come out from things that you think that are bad. So the Habi Kasher Rahmana is the opposite in Reb Tzadok's approach. Now the Kasher Rahmana comes and says, you could do your actions, you should relate, you should react, because what you think is bad may actually turn out to be very, very good. That's a Reb Tzadok, that's a whole different approach that Reb Tzadok is taking. So really, how do we relate to that? How can we take it into some Rishonim practical approach to relate, to deal with this component? I want to show you two different, one is more known, one is less known. I'll start off with the Rambam, who's more known, and the approach the Rambam is relating to are on two levels. One is on a level that I claim could also relate to the questions of destiny, of Mashiach, of redemption. But the more practical approach that the two sources are going to be looking to in approaches of the Rishonim has to do when you have contradiction with all kinds of Midrashim. By the way, you ever engage with Medrash, you go crazy. You could find so many contradictions. Whoever tries to sit and really fit together all the different statements of Tanaim and Amoraim together, good luck. You're going to win the, I don't know what prize you're going to win. There's so many contradictions. And we're going to see soon a few. How do we relate to that? In reference to us trying to determine future. But let's look at the Rambam, because you should know the Rambam is fascinating with the example that he's using when he talks about Hilchot Melachim, where it's dealing mainly with Hilchot Mashiach. And don't forget, the Rambam also in Yesod HaTorah goes very, very deep and entails what it means to be a legitimate prophet. And what could he do and what he cannot do? And his bottom line of the Rambam's approach is no change of any kind in the Torah. That's rule number one. And rule number two is that all what he says needs to happen exactly to the detail of the second. if even a little bit doesn't happen from what he's predicting, this is not a prophet. These are the two basic guidelines the Rambam gives us. But here, if you look at source 5 in the Chot Malachim, the Rambam brings a very interesting insight in reference to how Rabbi Akiva approached Bar Kochva. And he says over here in source 5, it's in the Chot Malachim, Perek Yudalef, Halacha Gimel, Ve'al Ya'alel Da'atcha. When you're trying to think, how would it look, the future? How is Melech HaMashiach going to be? Ve'al ya'aleh al da'atcha, she'amelech HaMashiach tzich la'asot otot u'moftim. You think that what does it mean? How is Mashiach going to look? There's going to be this power, this Superman that's going to show up, flying with his cape. Yeah, it's going to be like a Hollywood movie. Says the Rambam, it's not going to be there. U'mechadesh varim ba'olam, u'mechayem etim. Yeah, he's going to be picking up cars. That's a problem. Since we're little kids, we're watching all these movies in Hollywood. So when we think of Mashiach, we think of someone coming and picking up a car with his bare hands and throwing it on someone and whatever. This is not what's going to happen, says the Rambam. That's not what Mashiach is going to do. And at the Volkach. What's the raya of the Rambam? Fascinating. Says Rambam, you know how I know that Mashiach could be a regular guy who's just doing the right thing? She'arei Rabbi Akiva, chacham gadol michachmei Mishnaya. Rabbi Akiva was one of the greatest scholars. We all trust Rabbi Akiva, not just because we're in Bnei Akiva. We all trust Rabbi Akiva, says the Rambam. V'hu haya nosek elav shel ben kuzavei ha-melech. Bar Kochva. Says the Rambam, Rabbi Akiva used to carry. You know what to be a nosekelim? Nosekelim is the guy who carries. You know, in the Israeli army, they have this position called kashar memem. That's the guy who carries the radio for the officer. That's a very prestigious job. This is not what you're talking about over here. You're talking about nosekelim. Look in Tanakh. Go over, see what the nosekelim were. It's almost the most. It's a very Rabbi Akiva. We know who he was because he believed that Bar Kochba was Mashiach. He took the hardest job. He was carrying his swords and whatever they used in those days all around. Says the Rambam, "V'dimahu v'chol chachmei doroshu amelach haMashiach ad she'ne'erag ba'avonot till he died." In other words, before it happened. Before it happened, before Bar Kochva died, times of the Romans, Rabbi Akiva and old Chachmei Ador believed he's the Mashiach, and they followed him. Kevan she'ne'erag noda lahem she'eino. Once someone's dead, it's over. Say it 20 minutes away from here. Ve'lo she'alu mimenu chachamim, lo ot ve'lo mofet. Okay? No one asked Bar Kochva, give me this miracle, show me you could fly in the air, pick up a car in the middle of the street with one finger. No one asked him for anything. V'ikar ha'dvarim kachayim, says the Rambam, bottom line, we got to understand. She'atorah hazot chukeha u'mishpateha le'olam u'lolmei olamim. Here's your rule for believing in a Mashiach. Rule number one, the Torah is here forever. Nothing could be changed within the Torah. Ein mosifin ve'en gorim. You can't add, you can't take off. V'chol ha-mosif o goreah, o she'gila panim ba-Torah, v'otzi ha-dvarim shel mitzvot nipshutam, arei ze bevaday rasha v'apikores. The Rambam ends with a very harsh statement. The Rambam ends over here saying, you should know that if someone does or acts in this type of way, he's an apikores. But nevertheless, what do we see in this Rambam? This Rambam, his approach is very clear. The Rambam says, you could. Rabbi Akiva did it. Rabbi Akiva Chachmei Ador did it. But you got to understand that if something happens, it's over. Once it's over, it's over. But you don't need to expect any type of miracles or anything like that, says the Rambam. But then the Rambam, in Igeret Teiman Otchiyat HaMeitim, in Source 6, only the Rambam hears that people are getting confused from this halacha that I just read to you. And says the Rambam in Source 6, וכבר סיפקו גם כן אנשים בדברינו בסוף החיבור במקום שאמרנו דבר זה לשונו. Right, the Rambam brings what we just read about Rabbi Akiva וחשבו קצת, in the third line, חלושי העיון שזאת הכחשה לתחיית המתים. People started to think, says the Rambam, that because what I said about Rabbi Akiva and this halacha, so there's no tchiyat amitim. Why? Because I'm not requiring, there's no requirement from the Mashiach to come and create tchiyat amitim. So says the Rambam, people thought that I don't believe in tchiyat amitim. V'usoter mashi be'arnanu perush ha-mishnah v'chule, it's from the Torah. And the Rambam goes here on and on later on to explain, to say this is nothing what I meant. And then the Rambam ends, and that's what's important for me, what I highlight over here in source 6, Sov Davar. Kol Eile Hem Dvarim She'enam Pinot HaTorah. There are areas in the Torah that are not regular script. They're not like clear cut. Ve'ein la'akpid ech ya'aminu ben. Ve'tzarich she'yamtin ha'adam le'gufa emunah be'elu ha'dvarim. Says the Rambam, there's certain things we just don't know how they're going to play out. His relation to these areas are einam pinot haTorah. These are the words of the Rambam. They're not pinot haTorah. Okay, it's not clear script. We don't know. It's not 100% how it's going to play out. We need some faith. Ad asher yiru b'mera b'ameinu ve'az yitbe'er memashal u'mofet v'chule v'chule. Says the Rambam, we really don't know how days of Mashiach are going to look. We don't know the whole these different metaphors that we find in prophecy or in Ma'amarei Chazal. Actually, prophecy is a little harder, but when Chazal say all kinds of statements that are not clear-cut, midrashim, that's what the Rambam is more referring to. It's not 100%. We don't know because it could be a metaphor. It could be a metaphor. I don't know if that's really how it's going to look. Nevertheless, what the Rambam is, and this is the Rambam, is a reaction to people getting confused from what he wrote in Hilchos Malachi, meaning, thank God he was still alive after, to see reaction of the crowd, that he could write something that he, as a response to what he wrote on the Yad, which is something that the Rambam didn't plan to do, I believe. He thought it's going to, but that's for a whole different conversation, not for here, where he thought he's going to be taking over the Shas, but that's a different issue. But the Rambam already related. He says, people are getting confused. So therefore, for our topic of conversation, what is the Rambam introducing? The Rambam's saying we have to have a certain faith, but we can't say we know 100% how these things are going to play out. Things that have to do with times of Mashiach, with redemption. We have to see what happens and work with that. But nevertheless, the Rambam still told us, Rabbi Akiva, Chachmei HaDor took a stand. But they were also very clear that when it wasn't, it wasn't. They were open, they were strong enough to get up and understand this is not it. So according to the Rambam, should we get it up? Could we come and try to determine days you're in and how? Yes! But says the Rambam, Chachmei HaDor, who did it, we don't know how it's going to look. So a little bit maybe. You need to have faith in what you're doing. This is all I'm taking as a conversation from the Dehadi Kavshe Derachman Olam Alach that I started off with, from source 1. And this issue, something that I believe a lot of people are less familiar with, because this Rambam is pretty known, is Igrot HaRamah that you have in source 4. It's not the Ramah with Aleph, right? It's the, probably a lot of you are familiar with him from the Yad Raman Sanhedrin, okay? One of the Rishonim lived about 1115. Okay? He here comes and says something very interesting. And the concept where you find contradictions that I'm relating to, especially on these type of issues, of Mashiach, of Midrashim, of Ma'amarei Chazal, how do they fit in? And let's see the conclusion of the Rambam. Here in source 4 comes the Rambam and says, "Ve'ech ya'aleh lev ish asher matan Hashem yitbarach chokhmah belibo lakacha divrei ha'agada kipshatan ve'apsukim ketzuratan." Says the Rambam, if you're smart, how could you even think to take a divrei ha'agada, which are midrashim mainly, and just think that they are literally, this is what's going to happen. That if the Midrash says that the world is going to be in a certain way, it means literally that's going to be. How can you even think, whoever has any type of chokhmah, how can you even think that? And he brings an example. Says that, I'll just give you a small example. And one source we know in Gemara and Brachot, the Gemara says that La'olam Haba, there's no eating and drinking, nothing like that in Olam Haba. Okay? That's why I look the way I look, because I know that in Olam Haba there's not going to be food, so I'm trying to consume it in Olam Hazeh. Okay? So, but on the other hand, says the Rama, the Gemara in Baba Batra says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a feast for the tzaddikim from this Sudat Leviathan. So what? How does it fit? Yeah, he brings how it was a whole conversation. Antoninus Sha'al Rabbeinu HaKadosh, V'imachilomi Leviathan Olam Haba. Is it really, are we going to have that? Anyway, the Rama goes down and brings, he says, look, we have a lot of different contradictions about things that are not Ba'olamah, that we can't see, that we don't know. So how do we relate to that? I put in bold a couple of lines down the punchline of the Rama. Ve'omnam im ruach ha-moshel ta'aleh alecha. Poetic language. Im ruach ha-moshel, a person who's moshel on his, not on, usually how is someone who's a moshel on his desires? That's what we talk about, right? For someone to be a moshel, usually when you talk to someone who could rule, so you relate it usually to your desires. A lot of sifrei musar, right? You need to limshol. Here he's coming to say someone who's able limshol on your chokhmah, right? To rule, to guard. Veshamarta pitchei picha. Lo yichbarta milecha velo etarta dvarecha. Mama is going on a whole poetic range of how people should relate to these type of contradictions. Velo yigdalta picha ledaber milipcha dvarim she'en lecha ben kabbalah mibchirapcha. It's fascinating to see a contradiction in divrei chazal and to try to come up with a brilliant idea. Says the Rama, no, you shouldn't. You need Kabbalah. What is that? You need Masorah. Something that was taught to you by people who were greater. Kol sheken midvarim sheafilu akadmonim, achachamim, vageonim lo yardu latachlit amitat ha'atidot. He says even great Rishonim didn't come down to the punchline, to the bottom line of the future of redemption, of issues like that. Yan ki hem sodot ve'inam meforashot kechol hatzorach b'sifrei hanevuot. Even in the words of prophecy, they're not as clear as they could be. That's why there's so much confusion that we opened up with. It's not clear. Ladata emet kama yemei shneimot haMashiach, kama ye ben yemei morot Mashiach kata mitim, kama ye brings you several questions. How long would the Mashiach come? What's going to be the different time? How many times would be between the Mashiach and kata mitim? And olam haba, my asuachayim mentayim. And in the meantime, what happens to people in between all these processes? V'acharei shneil mamim chatushia, v'lo adat al eize olam haba amar harav shein bo guf v'lo gviya. Haita tehila lecha dumia. The best thing is, there's certain things to just say, I don't know. Ad, ken, shedarashta vechakarta sitrei advarim nizaken verav maskil doreshet ha'elokim. Ki ha'omnam, says the Rama. So if our conclusion from what I see in the Rama till now, I couldn't throw up, just ignore it. Don't relate to it. No one is able, other than Rav Zaken, who could do it, but all the others can't. Says the Rama, no. You need to understand one thing. Ki ha'omnam yesh behem sodot niflaim. There's wonderful, it's a wonderful area, sodot niflaim, says the Rama. Ve'ne'lamim enei rabim v'chachamim, ve'niglim lebarei levav maskilim. Says the Rama, there are certain people, this is such an unbelievable area in the Torah, that there's only Yechidei Sgula who know it, and therefore I'm not saying it doesn't exist, says the Rama, but I'm warning you, really, I don't think it's you, says the Rama. When I walk out from this Rama, based on what we were looking till now, what we saw in the Rama, what we saw the whole approach of the Hadikasha, the Rachmana, that things could happen, and I'm relating to where I'm living now. much am I looking into history, current events, and I'm saying, hey, this fits to this and this fits to that. So first of all, I'm learning that you need tremendous modesty. Tremendous modesty in these issues. I can't get up and say that I see certain things happening in Medinat Israel today, in modern times, or certain things happening in the world. Oh, and here's the Midrash that it fits to. Boom, and here I have a hope. No, I need modesty. I can't. But one thing I do learn from this Ramah, that if there is, in his words, if there's Zaken v'Rav Maskil Doresh Te'alokim, and it makes sense, so I could follow. I could ask. I could maybe see a direction or a sense. And what I'm coming to say in that area is, and my example that I bring here in the last source, I'm not going to read it in, is Rav Kook's approach in the Mispet B'Yerushalayim, where he comes and he describes how Mashiach ben Yosef is going to look, how Mashiach ben David is going to look, and Rav Kook goes in detail trying to introduce the process of redemption. So with a humble opinion, I could sit and say, you know, to me, and others could argue and say, I'm not mekabel, I'm accepting. There is, it exists, these approaches. So I'm accepting. And that's the derech I'm following. It's not me just sitting on, but rather I'm approaching a whole talich, a whole derech that is introduced and how this process is going to look. But I want to end with one point that I think is relevant. I'm not going to go into the entire lumdis element that I have here that I brought from the Chatam Sofer, because I think this is fascinating. But I want to take it one step further. And I really ask myself, and you should know, I ask myself this a lot every year. Till when are we going to continue? And this is how I started the shiur today. Till when are we going to continue feeling this uncomfortable feeling every time someone introduces or we try to practice something on Yom HaTzmaut? Like I started off, I said, I'm sure every year you have that during tefillah. I have it. You know, every time I find this other, like I told you, I saw this thing last night. It seems so bizarre to me that this, in one of the books, oh, they see a flag, so they say these psukim in Tehillah. Meaning, how long are we going to feel that? I don't know. I guess we'll know when time comes, the Malat Hashem De'ar Kemaim L'maim, and then everything will be so clear. I just thought of the following, because it's something that I heard from my Rebbe Rav Blachman, from in his name of his Rebbe Rav Huttner. He always told us, in the name of Rav Huttner, that on the Pasuk, Shal avicha ve'agetcha skanecha ve'amulach, Rav Huttner used to say, this is the chiyuv d'oraisa to learn history. Not, and I don't want to misquote, I don't know if it's to learn history or to learn from history. It's a big difference between the two. I actually need to find out. But he used to quote this several times. Shal avicha ve'agetcha skanecha ve'amulach is a requirement. It's a chiyuv d'oraisa. And really, because of this, I told you this confusion that every year I saw there's something else about seeing a flare or anything like that. I want to introduce to you just something to think about in Source 7. And this is an halachic discussion. The discussion that applies also in the Gemara and Shabbat and also in Sukkah, I believe. Same discussion. My Levarech. After the conversation of what type of brachos we have, that you need to make a bracha on Chanukah, if it's on the Re'iyah, or actually on the... So my Mevarech, what's the bracha that we make? Says the Gemara, Mevarech asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotah v'tzivanu la'adlik ner shel Chanukah. What we do till today. And ask the Gemara the famous question, ve'ichan tzivanu? Ve'ichan tzivanu? Rav Avira amar milot asur. Right? Rav Avira amar milot asur. You need to listen to Divrei Chachamim. So since Chachamim said establish the holiday of Hanukkah, therefore we got to listen. That's Tzivanu. And right away, this brings you back to the famous Machoket, and the Chatam Sofer really goes here on a whole issue in that area in Source 8. The famous Machoket Rambam and Ramban on what's the component of Lotasu. Because from the Rambam it seems to be, and the Ramban goes crazy, that every Daraisa becomes, every Darabanan becomes a Daraisa. It's a crazy thing, that's a whole topic on its own. So this, that's what it's saying. Lotasur. But there's another pasuk. Rab Nechemya Omar, Shal Avicha Ve'agetcha Skenecha Ve'amulach. That pasuk that I introduced to you as from Rav Huttner, claiming that this is Chiyuv of history. Tell me, what's the source? Why could we say Asher Kideshanu Ve'mitzvotav Ve'tzivanu Ladlik Ner Shel Chanukah? Shal Avicha Ve'agetcha. What is the halachah of Avicha Ve'agetcha? It's not here in the component of listen to Chazal, because that's Latasu. Latasu is listen to Chazal. So what's shal Avicha Ve'agetcha? How is that relating to that? If you look in Rashi, he brings another on shal Avicha, and that pasuk Rashi brings two explanations. And the second one, he says, Binush nadovado. Lehakir lehaba sheyesh be'adol leitiv lachem ulanchi lachem imot ha-mashiach v'olam haba. In other words, Rashi already brings the perush on a Torah and a davar acher and another approach. He comes to the understanding that binu shnot shal avicha ve'echatz ve'echa v'chulei. It's coming to say you should realize that there's going to be redemption. There's going to be times of Mashiach. There's going to be olam haba. From that he's learning the source. So maybe. And I think the Chatam Sofer a little bit is going, taking this, and the Chatam Sofer is turning this into a practical halacha l'maaseh argument between the two approaches, rather than not about just from seeing a Ner Chanukah, I need to or not. I'm short on time. Rabbi Berman's already waiting. I apologize. We started a little late. But over here in Source 8, look at this Chatam Sofer, because he's taking into a practical halacha component. It could be that the approach that is said over here of Rav Nechemya, in Shal Avicha Ve'agetcha, in reference to lighting the Ner Chanukah, is coming and saying, hey, Chanukah is a result of an historical event. It was touching the component of redemption. And we have an obligation to relate to that. And really the Chatam Sofer says over here, I'll just read the highlight. It's in bold in Source 8. Mikol makom Megillah veChanukah veHallel shorsham baKodesh min haTorah. Kshamru Chazal uperakam adam Megillah. Mishibud leGeula umer Shira mimavet lechaim lekol sheken. The source for Hallel is that if we were about to die, right, from Shibud leGeula, so for sure, if we were about to die, umuchayavim min haTorah laasot shum zikaron lechol nes mikal vachomer diitziad Mitzrayim. אלא שמסרן לחכמים, מה יתקנו? אם להדיק נרות, או לשלוח מנות וכדומה. Says the Chatam Sofer, this is the yesod. The yesod is that we have an obligation to establish something as a result of a miracle. Just it was left in the hands of Chazal to determine how to do it. Just we're living in a generation that who are we going to look back and say, you're Chazal. That's why maybe in a days like that we're still going to always walk around a little bit uncomfortable, because we don't have that Koach Chazal that are standing today and are just establishing. No, maybe when that comes we'll really understand what Mashiach's all about. But one thing for sure we know, that walking around these days and not engaging in at least trying to relate to what are we looking at? What's this is all about? This is already not what the Rama is talking about, but rather this is already, I think, almost I don't want to use any harsh words. You gotta try to understand what we're living in. As I told you in the beginning, in Israel, the practice of the blessing for today, and again you're going to move a little uncomfortably, because that's what happens during this day. They say, Mo'adim simcha l'gula shlema. Bezrat Hashem, we should feel comfortable with that phrase as well.
And then we'll go ahead in this room with the shared fire.